a married couple. And then Sharon gave a word for a lady. And why don't you share about that word now that we're online?
Yeah, so it was just a word of knowledge about a lady that someone that had heart arrhythmia that was under investigation. And it was causing her not to sleep, just really upsetting her life, bringing a lot of fear. And so, as we know, the word of knowledge means that God wants to do something right now, right at that moment. If he has released the word, then by faith, we release that word and he actions that word. So that woman, as she stood up, we ministered to her and we just declared her healed. And we got word last night that she was completely restored. So we just want to celebrate that and just say thank you, Jesus, for that, that that was an instantaneous moment, word of knowledge activation of the word of the Lord. And her heart arrhythmia was completely, she was completely healed and restored. So if that's you this morning and you're watching with us and you have been suffering from heart arrhythmia, atrial fibrillation, that kind of heavy duty palpitations that that they're looking to investigate or you're under investigation, then the testimony of Jesus is the word of prophecy as spoken of in scripture. And so we want to believe this morning and release again that word so that there's an activation in your life and there's a healing comes in your life this morning.
Yeah.
So we just declare that this morning. If that's you, I just want you to put your hand over your heart.
Come on.
Put your hand over your heart. And, you know, you've maybe had this for a while and you're like, well, why should I be healed now over the internet? Well, why shouldn't you be healed now over the internet? What is holding you back apart from doubt?
Yeah.
What is holding you back from receiving apart from doubting that it's going to happen? So number one, I want you just to repent of your doubt. Repent, just say, Lord, I'm sorry for doubting. Like Thomas, I believe, help my unbelief. I just want you to pray that this just right now, just Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief.
Jesus.
And I choose to receive this morning.
Yeah.
And I just declare over you right now, just release that word, that of knowledge concerning heart arrhythmia and atrial fibrillation. We just say you're healed right
Come
now
on.
In Jesus' name. As the word goes forth, you are being healed. You're being restored. And we declare Jesus. It in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And for anybody with any heart conditions, receive it as well. Mm-hmm. Because when God comes with a word, he always has the more. Mm-hmm. And so you want to, anything to do with your heart, you've got problems with it, you've got like valve problems, well then just put your hand in your heart and just in the name of Jesus, we speak healing to every heart right now in Jesus' name, that all fear gets broken and smashed and that your heart begins to operate and work like it should be working in normal terms. So we bless you this morning and we thank God that he is moving in your life and be expectant of what's about to happen. We had the testimony as well shared again on Friday night of a lady, Elaine Paul, and Elaine lives in London, but she'd been suffering for about, I think it was 3.5 years, hardly could breathe, was just struggling to walk.
And needed heart surgery.
She had a failing heart, but it was just like so, so bad. And last year, during one of the Fire School of Revival nights with Dr. Mark Van Gundy, she was on there, and short story really was that an angel appeared as Mark was praying. An angel appeared in front of her and came across and actually took a heart off a plate and actually put it on her chest. And Pastor Tony turned around and says, now it's on your chest, but you need to tap that heart. And she said, I just did that with my hand, tapped the heart, and the heart just went right inside her chest wall.
Come on.
And she went back to the doctors and got complete medical verification that she had a brand new heart. All her conditions with her heart were gone. And she's seen the angel bring it, the new heart to her. God's in the business of bringing body parts to repair you and to make you new again, and sickness to be destroyed and to elevate and bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ. You know, so if you've got any heart conditions today, then believe that God, your God, is greater and he will do the almighty works of that he does in even you. Do not let doubt come into your heart. You'll kick it out. But remember that Jesus is your Lord, and greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You know, so as this morning, as we roll into this morning, you're going to get blessed, you're going to get rocked, and you're going to want to share this with others later. You know, so you can go all these messages that you see every week, their online in YouTube channel for Freedom Fire Ministries. And you can find that easily. You'll see, if you see us, you know you're on the right track. You know, so you want to get them, share them, and stick them on your Facebook page. Let's get the word of the Lord. When the Lord has made the internet available to the church, to the body of Christ, let's make use of it. And let's see thousands and thousands won for Jesus Christ all over the world. So we bless you, and we bless all those that are tuning in today from the nations of the world. And we just pray a blessing of the Father over you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and his Son and the Holy Spirit, that you get what you're doing gets ramped up and you just accelerate it because of the glory of the Lord that's around and releasing around you right now in Jesus' name. So we bless you all. And so this morning, like we said, I think we've done all the announcements, haven't we? Yeah.
No.
No, you want to do the announcements?
Yeah.
Go for it.
You want to bring them up?
Let me see.
So tomorrow night, Monday night, is our school, our ETP, Equipping the Prophet School, where it's a year-long course that is ongoing. And our heart is to raise up thousands of prophets in this day, in this season, where we need to hear the word of the Lord, to know and understand the times and seasons. We need to be able to understand what God is saying, how he's asking us to move forward in these days. If you would love to be, we would love you to be part of ETP and join us. You can go and look at some information on that on the link below. It's a very long link, but you can actually go onto our website, which is freedomfireministries.com. Go to the school section, and on there you'll find ETP, and just click on there and have a look. And we would love you to join.
Email us, ask us questions. You know, we're here for you guys.
But. Yeah, yeah. And actually, we were doing, for the month of September, we were doing a reduction. And I think this is kind of the last week. I know we've kind of started October, but we just want to give a 15% reduction off for anybody that signs up today as the end of our month of discount. So if that's you today and you would like to sign up, there's a 15% discount off the bill for you to sign up, and you can come and join in. If you want any more information, just do the little contact form there and just say, hey, can you just fill me in a little bit more about what is involved in ETP? It's a weekly school. We meet in the Monday evening at 7 o'clock. And we're forming a community of prophets that will be raised up together with teaching and activation and community evenings. And it's just building relationships together as a prophetic community.
Yeah.
You can sow into this ministry. We'd love you to sow into this ministry. If this ministry blesses you, if you're being fed through this ministry, then it would be good to sow a seed into this ministry so that this ministry can grow. And you can do that in a variety of ways. You can do that through PayPal, the information on the screen, paypal.me/Father's House 61. Or you can go on to the Father's House website, which is fathershouse.co.uk, and you can give through PayPal link there or the CrossPay link there. Or you can do a Bax transfer. The information, if you just scribble down the account number there, it's Father's House.
Or take a screenshot.
Father's House, the account number 415-66776 and the sort code 401722. Or you can do old fashioned if you really would like to. And you can send a check payment to Father's House at 3 Bure Close, Christchurch, Dorset, BH23-4EE. So Tuesday night we have two things on. One, we have our furnace prayer.
I was just going to say to you
at 7:30 on a Tuesday night. It's a Zoom call, so you'd be very, very welcome to come and join us for prayer and intercession. It's the hub of everything that we do. We really believe in the foundation of prayer and seeking the face of God for everything that is initiated through Father's House and Freedom Fire Ministries. Prior to the furnace prayer, we do a live All My Prophesy. It's a live evening on our Facebook platforms. where we just flow with the Holy Spirit. We do a little bit of teaching and we flow with the Holy Spirit to prophesy and minister to people that come on there. And it's been lovely to get testimonies back from people's lives that have been really touched through the All May Prophesy series that we do.
And that's on the All May Prophesy group that you'll find on Facebook. It's a free group to join. So you're more than welcome to come join and be with us and invite your friends, because that night could be the night that changes your life or changes their
life that you
because
know.
Of the word of the Lord being released.
Amen. Amen. Last one is Thursday evening. Thursday morning is our coffee morning for our people. You know who you are. You know where we'll meet. There'll be a little advert up for that. If you're in the area, please let me know, contact us, and we would love to invite you to come and join us for coffee on Thursday morning. Thursday evening at our home here at Three Beer Close, we will be doing our Touching Heaven night. Touching Heaven is literally where we just pursue the presence of God together as family. We do coffee.
It's in person.
It's in person.
Live, and you can get a cup of coffee in your hand when you come.
So Thursday night, 7 o'clock at our home, and we just pursue the presence of God. So 7 to 7:30 is coffee, social time, and then we just enter in to flow with the Spirit of God that evening. And then we see you all again Sunday morning.
Yay.
Here we go.
We're all there. Done. I think we're done. I think we've gone through all the announcements,
but
you just sense that the presence of God is expanding. He is taking over more and more. And the events that have just happened recently have set in motion something that I think we're going to look back on and think, wow, never in my wildest dreams did I ever think this was going to happen. So you're about to get your life transformed, rocked. And so we're just going to bless with bringing on Andrew Miles. I'm going to call him a doctor anyway. This guy has got so much in him that the Lord gives him. He's such a prophetic artist. You know, he's just a minister of the Lord before the Lord. So we want to bless you this morning, Andrew, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that what you've prepared, what is in your spirit, what is in your heart, just begins to bubble up right now and just overflow out of you. That you know, the old saying was, you want to be under the spout where the glory is poured out, where the Spirit is getting poured out. And so we just bless you this morning, Andrew, to release the word of the Lord and to actually have impact on people's lives here in the UK, but across the nations of the world. So we'll let you run with that, Andrew. Bless you.
Come on.
Thanks for your heart of service.
Woo-hoo! Right, I better unmute myself first. That'd be a good start, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
We were doing communion at the end, by the way. I don't know if you mentioned that, but we're doing communion. So you might want to get your things together. Sharon was talking about fear and trembling, and that's me right now, coming to you around the world. I like the fact that Andy emphasizes that this is around the world to make me feel less nervous. So today we're going to be doing about the buffet mindset, and I actually have lots of names for this: buffet thinking, buffet strategy, all you can eat. I had lots of different titles. I suppose there was like a smorgasbord of options that I could have chosen, but we went for buffet mindset. So what I want to do, first of all, is tell you a story, an illustration, a parable. And the idea of this is just to lull you into a false sense of security before I bombard you with biblical information and emotion and tears. And that's just me. So I don't know how you're going to be, but we're going to find out later on. So I've got my buffet plate. You can see that. In our family, we like to eat out, and my mother-in-law is very good at taking the whole family out for food. And one of the favourites, I think, for her is to go out for a buffet. She quite likes going out for buffets because you pay a set fee, and then you can eat as much as you like then, and you do that. But her philosophy on life is, if you're going to go for a big buffet and a big meal out, starve yourself the rest of the day so you can get more on your plate and eat even more, and get even more value for your money. So you get your plate and you pile it high, and you get the maximum benefit of that money you've paid. So we used to go to a place called Days. It was in Bournemouth, and they had like food from all around the world, mainly Chinese, but you could get Italian, Indian, you could have Japanese food, you can put them all on your plate at the same time. You can really mix them up. And so there was loads and loads of choice. So you could have pizza and Chinese, or chips and Chinese, or whatever. It's amazing. And in the afternoons, or later in the evenings, they'd do another deal where you could have things like access to the chocolate fountain and all kinds of sweets and desserts. So it was a great place. But the thing is that once you paid your money, they make money by selling you drinks. And I think partly because the food's quite salty, they can make money yet. But we did something really great. We found out if you drink just water, you don't have to pay at all. So get in there. Win-win, eh? But since those times, I'm afraid that restaurant has closed, probably because nobody bought any drinks, because they're all drinking water, don't they? So what the other good thing about going to that restaurant was that if you were eating and you didn't really like something, you left it on the table, they'd clear your plate away and you could take a new plate and get even more food. So I was thinking about this, and a few years ago, when something happened around the world that meant that people were stuck at home, we had an online kind of buffet, didn't we? We had all this spiritual food that you could access. We discovered this thing called Zoom. And the great thing about it was you could go in all these different places and you could have a bit of this and a bit of that and a bit of the other. It was a real buffet of choices. And you could pick and choose what you liked and what you didn't like. And at the end of the day, you could put your plate down, it'd be taken away. It was all great food and diversity, and it was free as well. Didn't even have to pay a service, didn't have to pay a charge to do it. So, and the other thing, you didn't have the embarrassment of the collection bag going around having to put money in. It was just like free. It was like a buffet. And to a certain extent, I'm still enjoying that buffet. But the thing is that there is a serious side to this, and that we really should sow into these things and sow into these ministries. It was a great feast, and we could actually pick and choose, and we could say, oh, that was a really great word that was given there, wasn't it? That was a really good word. And it's like playing lip service to the message that we were receiving. But often it was superficial. It was nice, but, you know, it was nice. And we didn't have any commitment to it because we didn't actually put anything into it. So as I say, it still continues today with Facebook and YouTube and Rumble. Like we like to watch Elijah streams and things like that as well. But what is it worth to you or me? We stack it on, we pile it on, we pick and choose what seems good. And we, like I say, we can leave what we don't like on the table. And there's no accountability. It doesn't matter about the waste. We're not paying. So I'll give an example of this. Some years ago, we knew a guy that used to used to worship at our church, and he left. He was a special needs guy, actually, and he left our church. But he'd go on Sunday to the church that he went to, and then on the way back, he'd come into our church to have coffee and biscuits, and he'd help himself to coffee and biscuits and chat. So I don't know whether he was eating at their church as well, but he came to ours on the way home, helped himself. Nothing went in the collection bag. I don't know if it went in the collection bag of theirs either, but he just got this stuff for free. And he had no hand in being part of it, or was no part of that group. So what do you give? I mean, we can watch things. Like I'm not coming from a position of strength here. I'm saying I watch things. I don't even put enough money in to buy a cup of coffee, but I'm quite happy to go and buy a coffee somewhere. But we have a part to play within the fellowship. So what's your role within the fellowship? What's your role within the kingdom of God, the bigger side? What's your role in the kingdom, at the kingdom's table? Or do you just pile your plate high and feast away? There is a responsibility. Like this morning, for instance, I'm speaking to you. I'm speaking to people around the world from a little room in our flat. And I'm quite nervous. I don't mind speaking, but actually I get very nervous before I speak. It's a well-known thing. But you have to step up. We talked a lot about changing seasons, and Roz actually spoke last week on changing seasons. And it's because we are entering a new season. We are entering not just a new season, but a whole complete new era. And we don't really know what to expect. And I was thinking about what you do when you are going into a new season. You actually take action to prepare for it. I've got that wrong, where we haven't bought stuff, and then you're actually in the season and you want to buy something, you can't get it because they've already changed the next season. It's already going on the shop shelf. So you have like appropriate footwear or clothing, and you put some things away and you get some things out. I mean, we're preparing something. We don't even know what we're preparing for at the moment, do we? We don't know exactly what's coming, but we know God will speak to us and help us get through it. You get your necessary provisions in. It might be sun cream, or it might be thicker winter coats if you're going into the winter. And you start stockpiling things up, like firewood and things like that. So like last week, it's kind of interesting when we're between seasons at the moment. We're obviously summer going into autumn. And last week a couple of weeks ago I went to the group I go to, and we were outside, and I didn't have any sun cream, and the sun came out, it was a baking hot day, and everybody got caught on the hop. And I had like a thick coat with me and all this sort of stuff. So sometimes it's difficult as we change seasons, isn't it? So how do you prepare? It's going to be challenging. And also the way we cope with that challenge is by seeking God. And if we seek God first, it's going to be rewarding and amazing. It's not something to dread, but it's something to look forward to as well. So we talked last week about Rosh Hashanah. We've been in Rosh Hashanah, and the trumpets was being sounded for the Jewish New Year. And I kind of visualized the shofar sounds like, it says, "We worship you, Lord. We need your help in this coming season," because we're entering a whole new year, a whole new Jewish calendar. And that affects us as well, as we're grafted on. So what are you going to do when you're called to stand? What's your role? I think you might use the excuse, "Well, I would do more, but I've got a lot on my plate at the moment." You see what I did there? Went back to the buffet thing. I've got a lot on my plate. Maybe you're eating the wrong stuff, or maybe you need to give up something that is taking up space on the plate. Maybe it's time to think again about your diet. Maybe it's believing the lie. There's a great lie out there about food. I don't know if you follow Sharon, but she does this great thing called Rejuvenate, about foods and things like that. And Mary does this as well. They make these amazing drinks, which are like thick, frothy fruit and vegetable drinks. And they come out all in strange colours. Some of them look like pondweed, or they look purple, or they look red. And you think, "Well, I don't know if I really want to be trying this," but then you try it and it's absolutely amazing. It tastes amazing and it's really healthy. And the great lie is that healthy food isn't nice. Well, this testifies against that, because it's amazing. So we're coming into this whole new season, and we must not take things for granted, but see what God's saying to us through them. Sometimes we just need to think, what's on our plate? So I put on here, "But when we seek him, he gives us not what we always expect, but what we need." You know, it's like the whole thing about broccoli, isn't it? Some people don't like broccoli, but you have to eat it because it's good for you. But I quite like broccoli, so it's not really a good illustration, is it? So written down here. So Andrew, when's the scripture coming? Coming soon, don't worry. So why am I telling you all this? Well, I'm telling you all this because I did some journaling recently. It was on the 19th of the 9th, so I'm drinking water. And I asked God about a question about work and money and concerns for others in the same regard. And my journal described a place set before me, like a table set before me, like a plate, knives and forks and glass and everything. It's quite interesting. It didn't really occur to me until yesterday that God had a place for me at his banqueting table. But anyway, that was the picture that was drawn up. And I didn't draw it. And as I was writing this down, I was seeing the picture in my head. And God was encouraging me to say, is not to take on other people's, what other people have on their plate, to take on what was on my plate, not look to behind, but look at what's laid before me and to concentrate on that. And he promised me that he'd tell me what to say and what to do and how to direct my feet, which he's been talking to me about recently anyway. So I don't know if God speaks to you in that way or if you've ever looked at journaling, but I'd really encourage you to look into it because it's an amazing way to actually hear what God's saying. So I was thinking, well, did God really say that to me? Was he really speaking, or was it just me? Was it my imagination? Was I just writing stuff down that was in my own head? Was he really speaking? And on the 23rd, which was 4 days later, I looked again. I decided to turn back to the word I'd got. And I had noticed that it had a Bible verse written underneath, which I don't think I even looked at the time. Very bad. I think it was quite late at night. Not a good time to be doing journaling particularly. It's best to do it in the morning, I think. But anyway, it was Matthew 7. So I looked up Matthew 7. And it says, ask and the gift is yours. Seek and you will discover. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For every persistent one will get what he asks for. Every persistent seeker will discover what he longs for. And everyone who knocks persistently will one day find an open door. I like the fact that that's just like it says, an open door. Don't even have to walk through the door. It's already open, which is kind of great, isn't it? And I just had a view of that cartoon where the boy's going through the classroom. And it's called Midvale School for the Gifted. And he's pushing and he should have been pulling, but that's another idea. So do you know of a parent who would give his hungry child who asked for food a plate of rocks instead? So I went back to the plate. Or when he asked for a piece of fish, what parent would offer his child a snake instead? If you, imperfect as you are, know how to lovingly take care of your children and give them what's best, how much more is your Heavenly Father to give wonderful gifts to those who ask him? So I took that as pretty much a confirmation of the word, and I didn't really know what I was going to be speaking on this week. And that came up, and I really felt that was really applicable, hence the whole buffet story. You don't need to worry about what you're going to eat because your Father's going to provide it. You don't need to chase after everything or stack your plate high, but to ask God, where am I being called to in this coming season? You may feel unfulfilled at the moment. You may feel that God's got it wrong, but he has everything in hand. I was once in a situation a few years ago where I was looking after somebody. And I had an emergency situation, and it was literally a matter of life and death. And I was in within a project, and I'd never had to deal with this before. And I looked for help, and there was none. Nobody else was there to help. There are lots of people, but nobody else to help. And I looked for somebody who was experienced, and they wouldn't help. Even though they'd been trained, they wouldn't help. I'd had 1 hour's training for this emergency situation. And I had no option but to step up and take the action. It was my responsibility, and I had the emergency drugs to do it. And the person was fine. They recovered fine. But I did so in fear and trembling. And sometimes we get called to things that we aren't sure how we're going to deal with it. But you get through it because God brings you through it. If he's called you to it, he'll bring you through it. So what is your calling? What's God calling you to do? So I looked up Isaiah 6, verse 8, and it says, then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send him. No, he didn't say that. He said, here am I, send me. And often, like we expect, we'll say, well, I want to get this person to see Sharon or Andy because they're anointed. Bring them to Sharon and Andy. But actually, we have a responsibility ourselves to maybe take action or to pray or to trust in God and show faith to actually do something about it ourselves, not to run away and pass it on. It's not pass the parcel, is it? So this is, I put here, the kingdom of God is not a convenience store. You don't get to pick and choose what you want. You don't get to ignore this and not do the things you don't like. You don't run away from the challenges. We, like this, I was just thinking about this summer, we had endless times when we did s'mores, and it was great. We had marshmallows on sticks, that's a s'more, with mint chocolate attached and sandwiched between chocolate biscuits. It was glorious. It was great. But if you eat too many of them, you get very sick. And so you can have too much of a good thing. It's not really a good thing because you need a balance. And that's what it means to be a Christian. So sometimes you may not feel it, but you are the one chosen for the position you're in. You're the one for the moment of that moment. Well, so you might say, well, surely God wouldn't make me do that, or surely God wouldn't ask me. Well, it's because, and he doesn't care for me. Well, it's because he cares for you passionately about you and for you that he takes you higher to places where you've never been. Hence, for me speaking this morning to you, fear and trembling, but still here. There is there's someone who I meet on a regular basis, and these guys, they're always talking about football. They're very into Bournemouth Football Club, and I'm a Southampton supporter. And one of the guys there, we had a lot of banter about football, and he said to me a few weeks ago, he says, "You're just an armchair fan. You're just an armchair fan." And I said, "You're actually right." He was actually right, because he goes to the matches on a regular basis. He participates in the fandom thing. He interacts with other fans, and he knows who's physically in the team. I merely check the scores. I don't actually know who's in the team, Southampton team, but I look at the scores and see how they're doing. It's my team. It's in Southampton. Perish the day that I just sit in church and merely hear the score, engage in the banter. You know, just to sit there and just like in some dreary place of dusty theology and dead religion. I've been there, I've done that, don't want to do that anymore. It's, we are called to participate. We're not called just to be observers. We're actually called to be part of the thing. So I personally want to get wrecked in the Holy Spirit, preferably when nobody's looking. Hey, it doesn't work like that, does it? I want to see people saved. I want to see people healed. I want to see miracles, signs and wonders. I want to be teleported to different countries and parts of the world. I want to go to heaven just visiting. And I want to be used as a conduit to do it. What do you want? What do you want? Is it time to rise to the call? So I'm going to read a passage out of a book that I've been reading recently, which is an amazing book. Mary's parents had a version of this book from 1860s that was given to one of the family members. And that's what it's called, By Canoe and Dog Train Among the Cree and Salter Indians. Not sure if that's how you pronounce it. And I'm going to read you a passage from here. I'm going to read quite a lot out of here. And this is how you get out of doing a sermon, just read out of a book. So... This guy was living in Ontario, in Canada, and he was part of a church which was growing really, really fast. On here, they talk about 160 members group came last week or came recently, joined the church. So it's doing really, really well. And he just got married, and it was Christmas time, and they got various cards and things like that, but they got a message that came to them through the post. And it wasn't from anybody that he knew. It was just come through the post. And it was from the Mission Rooms, Toronto. And this is 1868. And this is the whole letter. I'm going to read the whole letter to you. And you see if you think this is a long... Would you respond to this? It says, "Dear Egerton R. Young." That's his name. That's why it says that. "Dear brother, at a large and influential meeting of the Missionary Committee held yesterday, it was unanimously decided to ask you to go as a missionary to the Indian tribes, Native Americans, I suppose we'd say now, at Norway House and the Northwest Territories north of Lake Winnipeg. An early answer signifying your acceptance of this would be much obliged. Yours sincerely, Ewood L. Taylor." That was it. That's literally six lines being written, asking him to go into the middle of nowhere to the kind of frontiers to reach the Native Americans. So his wife and him really struggled and thought about what they're going to do. Are they going to take up this call to go to the mission field? And bearing in mind, they're in a nice, comfortable, thriving church in Toronto, and they're going to go through Lake Winnipeg. And he's written loads of these books. It's all his own books. He's written about the journeys and the experience he had with the American, the Native Americans. And there's like So they're praying and they're praying and they're in tears and they're asking God, is this right? Is this not right? And the church say, no, stay. But there's one voice that says, no, go. And this guy, I'm going to read what it says here. I'm going to try and get through this. This might be interesting. And he says, no. He says, well, I asked him, I sent him a letter and asked him, what should I do in reference to it? He was, to much of my surprise, came deeply agitated and wept like a child. He said, when he could control his emotions, he said, for my answer, let me give you a little story. Years ago, I was very happily situated in the ministry in the old land. That means England. I loved my work, my house, my wife passionately, and I had the confidence and esteem of my people, and I thought I was happy as I could be this side of heaven. One day, there came a letter from Wesleyan Mission Rooms in London asking if I'd go out to the missionary to be a missionary in the West Indies. Without consideration, without making it a matter of prayer, at once I sent a letter, positive refusal. From that day, he continued, everything went wrong with me. Heaven's smile seemed to have left me, and I lost my grip upon my people. My influence for good over them left me. I could not tell how. My once happy home was blasted. And in all my trouble, I got no sympathy from the church or in the community. I had to resign my position and leave the place. And I fell into darkness and lost my hold upon God. And a few years ago, I came out to this country and God restored me to the light of his countenance. The church has been very sympathetic and indulgent. For years, I'm now being permitted to labor in her fold. And for this, I rejoice. So he told them how he'd actually refused to actually go and how it affected him. And at that point, they said, we're going. And they left everything. So what's God calling you to? So surely God wants a revival. Why would he send this man? Why did he send him to these Native Americans? It's interesting, isn't it? Perhaps nobody else would agree to go. See, God's picture is much bigger than just a revival in one little place. He wants to reach the world. And I believe Young and his wife were called from one expression of service, of a comfortable, thriving revival church, into a different expression of service in the unknown and uncertain world that was completely alien to him. And the thing was that he could only reach the Native Americans through dogs and sledge in the winter, which was very harsh, or by canoe in the summer, or the clearer months. Given the choice, he chose the challenge and chose the harder path. Why did he do it? He did it out of obedience. It was tough, full-on sacrifice, but had an immense reward. And these amazing books to read. And I definitely encourage you to if you can find them, it's Egerton Ryerson Young is his name. So I'll give you an example of one of the encounters. And then we'll move on from there. So this guy has just come to him and says, is God your father? And he said, yes, he is my father. I might skip through this because I think time's getting on. And he says to him, you say not to Wenham. Our father, he is your father. Yes, he is my father. Then he said, while his eyes and voice yearned for the answer, does that mean he is my father? Poor Indian's father? Yes. Oh, yes, I exclaimed. He is your father too. Your father, missionary's father, and Indian's father too, he repeated. Yes. Yes, that is true, and I answered. Then we are brothers, he almost shouted out. Yes, we are brothers, I replied. The excitement in the audience had become something wonderful. When the conversation with old men had reached this point, in such an unexpected and yet dramatic manner, had so clearly brought out not only the fatherhood of God, but the oneness of the human family. The people could hardly restrain their expressions of delight. The old man, however, had not yet finished, and so quietly restraining the most demonstrative ones, he again turned to me and said, may I say more? Yes, go on. Say all that you want in your heart. Never will I forget his answer. Well, I do not want to be rude, but it seems like to me that you, my white brother, have been a long time in coming. with that great book and that wonderful story to take to your red brothers in the woods. So I challenge you to get this book and read through it and not get emotional, because often that's powerful. That's powerful. That's just like one story in many, and the way God delivered them through. What's God calling you today to do today? A long time coming, eh? Moses came out of retirement as a shepherd to lead his people to Egypt and the promised land. Esther risked her life to rescue her people, and Haman got to experience death on his own gallows. So poor old Haman, eh? And Egerton Young, who we've just been talking about, the opportunity to lead a church in revival, to share the gospel to Native Americans, to encourage others by his books and adventure. We're not called to be missionaries, or well, not all called to be missionaries or pastors, but we have different things that they're called to. In Ephesians 4, 11-16, I read this, and it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, and some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry and to put up the body of Christ until we all reach the unity in the faith and knowledge of the Son of God as we mature in the full measure of the stature of Christ. I'm not going to read all of it, it's running out of time. He has given us the Holy Spirit, he's given us the tools to do these things, he's given us the armor. You are being called specifically to a mission. Maybe you're not being called to be a pastor or evangelist. Maybe you're called to be a social worker or a teacher or a politician or a bin man or a housewife or a nurse or a soldier or a millionaire or a pub landlord. You're being called to take his glory wherever you go. It's time to step up. It's time to step up. You are called to be a super spreader of the gospel, to take your portion and share it. Take your portion and share it. To boldly go where no one has gone before. A bit of Star Trek there, did you notice that? Forward into a new season, into a new era. Right, if you feel like you've got too much on your plate, maybe you need to wipe the slate clean, put down the plate, pick up another. What's it worth to know how to move forward? Are you willing to pay the price? It's not just about money, it's about bringing to the table who you are and what your calling is. It's about following your calling. What's it worth to know what to do next? What's it worth to not be in pain? What's it worth not to be in shame? How do you find out what your calling is? Well, you have to really seek out God. When you know where and where to go, when you come to the true relationship, the creator of everything, you will willingly invest your time and your money. Not a dry, dusty service, but the purpose-driven life into a Holy Spirit explosion to be a super spreader of the gospel. Right, your daily exercise is to ask him, to listen to him, to write it down, to act on it, and we'll keep repeating that whole thing. To ask him, to listen to him, to write it down, and to act on it. If you don't really know how to do that, then you ask your pastor, or you ask Sharon and Andy, or you ask me. But all the information is out there that are connected to this Facebook and everything else. So there's no excuse. You need to read your Bible regularly, and you need to pray regularly. And then we think about the diet. What's your diet? You have to be careful about what you put in your body. You have to be careful about what you put into your mind. You have to really think about what you listen to, what you watch, and who you mix with. So what is the value in drawing closer to God? What is the value in being in the family of like-minded people? We can't just go online and just take bits and pieces. It's about relationship. You know, it's not just about those things. It's about relationship. Those things are good, but it's also about relationship. You try and keep your life, you'll lose it. What is God calling you to? So if you don't know God today and you're watching on here and you think, well, quite interesting what that guy's saying, and I actually want to know more. Take some time and say, Jesus, I want you in my life. That's all you have to do. I haven't got a complex prayer for you. Jesus, I want you to my life, and contact this ministry and we'll help you. Even if you're in India, we have links in India. We can find a church for you. Wherever in the world you are, we can find it. We can find to link in somebody, or you can link into us anyway online, but you need to find a church near you. So that's my message for you this morning. But I want you just to think about now, we're going to go into communion time. And obviously we have our emblems, so I've got my bread and my wine there. I want you to ask you, what did Jesus have on, put on upon his plate? What did he put on his plate? He had the whole world on his plate. He took the whole world on. That was his mission, to rescue the whole world, to rescue us. What did he pay with? He paid with his blood and his body. Why did he do that? He did that because he conquered death and he rose on the third day and he came back for you. He came back from you. He didn't leave you dying in whatever situation. He came back for you. And what did he bring to the table? He brought himself and his life, his sacrifice, an opportunity for eternity with him. So now is our time. If you want to share that with him, we can share in his body and his blood. So we're going to do that. So put that up higher. So we choose to share that in this feast before us. In 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 26, in the Passion Translation, the same night in which he was handed over, he took the bread and he gave thanks. And then he distributed it to the disciples and said, take it and eat your fill. And it is my body which is given to you. Do this to remember me. So, Lord, we thank you for the fact that you died for us and that your body was broken for us. And we take part in this feast and we take part in your body. Amen. He did the same with the cup of wine after supper and said, this cup seals a new covenant with my blood. Drink it. And whenever you drink this, do it to remember me. And whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are retelling the story, proclaiming our Lord's death until he comes. Amen. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us and your sacrifice. And Lord, we thank you that we have the story of how you've come to save us. And Lord, we thank you that you've given us a responsibility to share that story. And we thank you for people like Egerton Young, people like that, that have been prepared to actually step out and step up and to go into unknown territory. Lord, I pray that you would protect us in whatever we do, whatever way you lead us, Lord, as we go through this week. In Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great day, everyone.